Good morning, Fairhaven Church. Now, you're the 10:30 hour. You got to sleep in a little bit. Good morning, Fairhaven Church. There we go. Great to see all of you. Welcome. We're glad you're here. If you are a guest, today is a very, very different day, at least on this half of it, that we normally do. Normally, we ask you to open up your Bibles, and we look at a particular place in the Bible, and we study it and study it, and we look at it, and we try to apply it, and then we say, hey, how about if you went this week and actually tried it out in your lives and see if it'll work in your lives? And it does. It's amazing how when you follow God's plan, it is the best for us. But this week's a little bit different. We're in this series called Family Strong, and we've been talking about a variety of ways that we can be strong in our families. And last week, if you weren't here, as I identified the term family, it's different than what we normally think. As I'm thinking about all of our campuses, Springboro, Northmont, here at Centerville, family is not just two, you know, parents, mom and dad, two kids and a dog. Family is much broader than that. In fact, as I mentioned last week, in most areas of the world, when you say family, you think of aunts and uncles, nieces and nephews, siblings and so forth. And so I want you to think again broader in the term of family as you hear from these three couples, our experts here today, talking about their lives and their family. And I'll introduce them to you in just a minute. But in this series, we've been asking this one question, if you haven't been with us. And the question is this: what would it take for you to be family strong? What will it take for us, for my life and your life, whatever your family looks like, what will it take to be family strong? So if you're married, what will it take for your marriage to be strong? If you're not married, what will it take for you and your family members? Maybe you have a brother or sister. What will it take for you to be strong? If you have kids, what will it take for you to be strong as you raise up your kids? Because we've been saying that as we look into culture, we're seeing that the family is being hurt, and it's very, very difficult, and we want to be family strong. So that's why we're in this series. So I thought I'd do a little bit different this week by having some families that have been part of this church family for many, many years. And so if you'll hold your applause, let me introduce all three of the couples to you, and then I want you to give them a huge Fairhaven welcome as we always do in all of our campuses. So right here to my left, we have Bill and Marley Wilson, who have been at Fairhaven Church for 33 years at Fairhaven Church, and they have raised their kids here through the kids program into middle school and high school. They have three kids, and they're off as adults now, and they have two grandchildren, as you can see in the picture there. And they're here to talk to us about their parenting styles. And they're going to give us three of their best parenting principles. So if you're a parent or a grandparent, or if you're a niece or nephew and you want to help your brother or sister as they parent, you might want to jot some of these things down. The couple behind me is the Pummels. We have Rick and Carolyn Pummel, and they've been at Fairhaven Church for 37 years. They were actually married at Fairhaven Church, not in this building, when we were down on Marshall and Ron, and they were married. Is that right? You were married there, right?
Actually, no.
No. Never mind that part. They've been at Fairhaven for 37 years. And they raised their kids here and into middle school and high school and college. They have three kids as well, and we're going to show a family picture of them if we can put it up on the screen. And there they are, not that one, the other one right there. They are on a family vacation, and you'll see why the spouses are not a part of this picture. They'll explain that in just a little bit as we have the Pummels with us. And so they're also going to share three of their best parenting principles with us here today. And then off to my right, we have Tim and Ann Cornell, and they've been at Fairhaven more than 30 years. They, too, raised their kids here from elementary into middle school, high school, college, and they have three kids. All are married except one, and they have five and a half grandkids. So I'll let you try to figure out what that is, and they'll share also three of their best parenting principles. So let me set the ground rules. What we're really going to hear today is their way of parenting. They're not perfect parents. They don't claim to be perfect parents. They don't claim to have perfect families. But they're going to explain to you and to us three principles that really help them navigate this thing called parenting and now into grandparenting. What you need to do is think about your family. So if you're married and you have little kids, this is a great thing for you because we hope that we'll do some mentoring that happens in our church family. Because one of the things that I hope you take away today is that you ought to, if you're a young couple, you ought to connect yourself to some parents who have done it before you, and you'll learn an awful lot of wisdom from them. And so would you help me give them a huge Fairhaven welcome in all of our campuses, these three couples here with us today. So we're going to start with Bill and Marley. And Bill and Marley, thanks so much for doing this today. Give us your three best parenting principles, although I know you could give us many, many more, as they are working in our marriage ministry and they come and they coach couples that are getting ready to be married as they mentor them. And so they're very, very versed at doing this. So give us your three principles.
Our first principle, as it was really hard to narrow it down, but the first one that we wanted to talk about was to develop Christian character. You know how when your kids are little and people come up to you and say, oh, enjoy your kids while they're young, they grow up so fast, and you're like, oh, yeah, right. But it is true. It really is true. You only have 18 years until these kids become legal adults, and that really is a short time. We've always believed that as Christ followers, not only did we want to pass on our faith, but we also, it was our responsibility to develop their character. And we learned that that has to be intentional, even if it's not convenient. I remember when our oldest daughter, Sarah, was 3 or 4, Steve was just a baby, and one day we were coming home from the commissary. Bill was in the Air Force at the time, and I checked in my rearview mirror, and I saw that Sarah was munching on an Oreo cookie. And I said, Sarah, where did you get that cookie? And she said, from the store, Mommy. And I remembered seeing this open package on the shelf in the cookie aisle, but I was determined this was going to be a teachable moment. Sarah was going to learn about honesty. So I said, Sarah, did someone give you that cookie? She said, no. I said, Sarah, you stole that cookie. And we don't steal. It's not the right thing to do. We're going to go home, and you're going to get some of your own money so you can pay for that cookie. So we got home, baby in tow, of course. She got 5 nickels from her money box, and then we drove all the way back to the base. We walk in. I asked for the store manager, and he came out, and I explained that my daughter had stolen a cookie off the shelf and that we have come back to pay for it. So he got this little smile on his face, and he said, oh, that's all right. I said, no, no, no. She needs to learn about being honest. So he bent over, and she opened up her little hand full of nickels, and he said, 1 nickel should cover it, he said. So that was a lesson that to this day our daughter remembered, and she wanted me to share with that one.
Another way that we developed character in our children was serving as a family together. And long before the term bucket list, I had a goal for our family, and that was that we would experience a third world culture together. And that opportunity presented itself when we met Don and Peggy Grigorenko, who were missionaries Fairhaven supported to Nepal over 25 years ago. We developed a friendship with them on furlough, and that friendship resulted in an invitation to come to visit them in Nepal. So 20 years ago this December, our family packed up with Christmas presents in tow and went on a 3-week adventure trip to Nepal. It took us way out of our comfort zone. That cross-cultural experience with impoverished people exposed us to a bigger view of the world and the vastness of God's heart. Jim Fiker, one of our former Fairhaven pastors, told us before we left, this trip is going to define your family. It did more than that. It changed our lives forever. I'm well aware that few people have a chance or an opportunity ever to go to Nepal, but how glad I am that we're in a church that has a lot of exposure to short-term mission trips and even serving within our community in downtown Dayton. These opportunities to serve as a family can build Christian character in your children.
Are we on this? Our next point that we wanted to share about was the importance of money management and stewardship. I would say you're going to hear a very common thread here that we really benefit as parents by listening to the wisdom of those godly people ahead of us, especially here at Fairhaven. And that was especially true in the area of money. And that began young. One Sunday, we dropped off Sarah. She was about 3. And we gave her a coin to put in the offering box at Sunday school. So having watched this, her teacher, M. Stewart, pulled us aside and said, "Have you ever considered giving Sarah an allowance?" We were like, why would we give her that? She's so young. She's only 3. And M. said, "Well, that way she can learn to give to God from her own money. And you can teach her about tithing, giving God the first part." So that got us thinking, and that began the training about tithing and money management, and thus our children started getting an allowance at the age of 3.
So how do you instill in your kids the habit of giving back to God through the tithe, and also how to manage all that God gives them? We were open to wisdom of people who were a step ahead of us in this parenting thing. Mike Crawford was one of those people. He was a finance guy, a dad, and he showed us what worked for his family. He showed us the shoebox. And in the shoebox, he had different compartments. And the lid would have different slots on it so that the kids could take their allowance and divide it up between the tithe, between long-term savings, and spending money. With this box, they were able to learn the value of the tithe, and also the value of savings and managing money well. All of our kids remember these boxes even to this day.
Another of our wise friends shared with us an idea that we tailored to our family, and that was the in the teenage years, the giving of incremental responsibilities in managing their money. In junior high or maybe high school, we gave the kids their entire clothing allowance for half of the year, and that they then had to manage themselves. And boy, did they ever learn about budgeting and how to stretch a buck. So that was a really good exercise there. We also wanted them to have part-time jobs during high school for many reasons, including so that we would have a chance to coach them about how the real world works while they were still under our roof. The jobs also provided them with extra spending money, and then with their paychecks, I took them to the bank, and they opened up a checking account. By senior year, they had a debit card they were using, and then when they went off to college, they knew exactly how to manage a credit card. So all of our kids, of all those jobs that they had, I think we saved the best till last. Corey, our youngest, worked with a few of her friends at Grader's. Now, the great thing about that job was the perk. Bill and I got ice cream for half price.
We gained about 10 pounds each that year. Another thing that was very important to us, another principle, was modeling relationships within the home. To really disciple your children, you need to be intentional. As our children were growing up, I had more than one occasion to reflect back on my own childhood, and I realized that the times that were most important to me that I remembered the most from times with my mom, my dad, my grandparents, and other relatives were the times I spent one-on-one with those people. It made me realize that really to be intentional about developing relationships with our kids, I had to make sure that we spent one-on-one times with them and provided them opportunities to spend one-on-one times with their grandparents and others that were going to be influential for them. For dads, as myself, I remembered that I had a weighty responsibility. Marley and I once were taught at a Christian conference that children see their dads as a reflection of God the Father. And so I kept asking myself for many, many years, and I still ask myself to this day, am I being the kind of father that will facilitate or hinder my child to see and love the Heavenly Father. Look for teachable moments, but also have fun with your children.
In preparing for this time today, we asked our son Steve what he remembered in the area of relationships and modeling. And it was interesting. The first thing that came to his mind was remembering seeing us leaving for our date nights or our trips without the kids. So he knew that our relationship was priority. And of course, that often meant time with grandma and granddad. So it was a win-win-win for everybody. But he also said, you made our interests your interests. And he reminded me of how we got into their hobbies. It was rocketry, it was American Girl dolls, high school drama productions. And he saw our involvement as relationship building for them. And I think the family connections also developed through the shared experiences of our yearly vacations and around the daily dinner table conversations, which we made a priority.
Sometimes you wonder if the instruction that you're giving your children is ever going to take, and it may take years before you discover the answer. I was at a Chicago Bears football game a few years back with my son and my two sons-in-law. I happened to overhear the two sons-in-law talk about their wives and how about what good money managers they were. They noticed that both girls were quite frugal and very good with family finances. One turned to the other and said, "We're lucky to have married Wilson women." When we got back to the house, I saw Marley and I told her this story. And I said, "That's because of your training."
And of course, those of us who have written this, that was because of the training my mom modeled for us too.
Give him a round of applause. This is the actual box for one of their daughters, Corey. It's amazing that they still have this box laying around with three little compartments in it. So what a great little idea. Thank you, Bill and Marley. Appreciate it so much. Over here to my left, or my right, rather, we have Rick and Carolyn Pummel. Give us your three best principles.
Thanks, David. Well, I don't think this will come as any surprise. David mentioned it earlier, and despite all the nice things he's going to say about these three couples, we are definitely not perfect. We have blown it many times with our kids. I imagine many of you as parents have made mistakes as well. So the first thing I would tell you is stop, take a deep breath, relax, the kids will survive. Recognize that you've made mistakes, apologize if you have to. Okay, but everything will be all right. Okay, sometimes when you look back on some of those instances, you'll wonder, why did we fret so much about that small item? But it's hard to have perspective at that time. So one of the first principles, a commandment really, for us in parenting was, this is not a democracy. God put us in charge for just this time, all right? So when we were married and right before we started to have kids, we became Christians and started attending Fairhaven. And we learned at Fairhaven that God was put in authority over us. And as a result of that, we're in authority over our kids. So we took that role very seriously. Many times I would say to the kids when they were little and when they were older, I would say, you're going to have many, many friends come in and out of your life. You only have two parents. That's the job we're going to do, okay? We'd love to be your friends later, but for right now, parenting is our ultimate responsibility.
And we also found out the good news with that is when God gives you a responsibility, he's there for you to, when you ask for wisdom. We prayed a lot, as most parents have to. We thank God for this church. Like we said, we raised our kids here. We had such godly examples here for them. And we also taught them to memorize scripture. And one of the scriptures, because of this principle that they memorized, was, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So they could see that it wasn't just our idea, that it was God's idea, that we were in authority over them. And at school, at Dayton Christian, they learned these principles as well. And we had some very godly friends, some of which are on this stage right now. And we called it the Moms Network. And we knew that we were a team together to try to help raise each other's kids.
A second principle we had that was important to us was to develop responsibility in the kids at a young age. Jobs were important to us, that the kids did not only their chores at home, but they went out, maybe asked neighbors if they could shovel the driveway or mow their lawn or watch their pets. Our two girls were the pet watchers of our neighborhood. And as a result of that, money management, as the Wilsons were talking about, was very important. Now, we didn't have a single box, same idea. We had three boxes. I don't have them on display. I'm a big throw-it-away person. Only the Wilsons could save a box for 30 years. But when we were in church, one of the things I shared with David about a year ago was that I thought it was very important as we sit in these pews and the plates come by that the kids would sit there and put their own offerings in the plate. That was an act of worship that I thought was important. I hope we'd never lose that. Getting in front of people, developing poise, that was something that I thought would make them responsible people, being exposed to asking for jobs, things like that. To the point where when my 6-year-old son and 4-year-old daughter took our 50-cent apiece apples and walked around the neighborhood knocking on doors selling them for 10 cents apiece. I thought that was a good investment at the time. But just the act of knocking on a door and speaking to an adult, and cute as they are, who could say no? They sold a lot of apples that day. That was good training for later on. But it expanded as they got older, athletic teams, being a member of a team, cooperation, those kinds of things. We really, really emphasized that. Especially with the girls in gymnastics, if you want to learn poise, try doing a balance beam routine in front of a gym full of people. That will really do it for you. And then when they got a little older into to college age years, I brought both of my daughters to tears when they were in the summer before their freshman year, as I said, hey, this is your college, not mine. You need to get online and figure out how to do all the applications, the financial aid, take out your own loan. Needed the kids to have a little bit of skin in the game for college. That was good for them. They'll tell you today that that was a very valuable experience. They didn't enjoy it much back then. They wanted me to do that. I was not going to take on that role. To the point where when they were in college, even in high school, if they wanted to do something like an overseas trip, get out your PowerPoint, make a proposal, I want to see the budget, and they had to make a presentation to both of us. I thought, what better training for later on in life than making a presentation to their parents? I remember one of them halfway through the presentation said, yeah, this isn't a good idea. So there I was, good training right there. And one of the other ones that my son still talks about at this time, when the girls were little and they wanted a puppy and so forth, I said, well, you can have a puppy. That's a great idea. There's going to be a puppy contract. So I wrote up a puppy contract that everybody had to sign, and my son said, yeah, I'm not signing that. But the girls, they did.
It's important also to know your child pretty well when you're developing responsibilities and giving them more freedom and just knowing where they are. I'll never forget my fifth grade son putting his little hands on his hips when I reminded him that he had a spelling test the next day because I called the parent connection, and he said, I've done fine for 4 years without you, Mom. I think I've got this. And he did.
And the last was a parenting goal that we had. And it was symbolized by a cross stitch that we had hanging in the hallway of our house for many years. And it simply said, roots and wings. And that was a constant reminder for us. Building roots for the kids, to always want to come back home, to stay connected even after we're gone. We hope that's something that lingers on. And we did that in a variety of ways. First, Fairhaven played a very important role. They were even all second grade students in the Cornell's Sunday school class. And so many people at Fairhaven impacted that and gave us a sense of roots in the community. Christmas traditions was another thing. We always did the same thing at Christmas time. Involved trips to Cincinnati, going to OmniMax, taking a carriage ride, staying in a hotel. And if you told the kids, we're going to skip that this year, no, we were not going to skip that this year. They really enjoyed that. And that picture that you saw earlier, and David mentioned it, you'll see, and I'm not saying that this is good for every family. Everybody has to make their own decisions. For us, it was a good idea. No other children other than our kids on family vacations. I wanted them to bond together as three people that would grow up and have a great relationship when they became adults, and it's worked thus far. But that worked very well. And I guess the last thing that I would mention, and I've mentioned this many times to young fathers as I've even traveled and people I don't even know, and that was Daddy Date Night. When the girls became junior high students, I decided, and I got this idea from the radio, from a radio program actually. We dressed up, only one daughter at a time, and we tried to do it once a quarter, and we'd go to a restaurant, we'd go to a movie, we'd go shopping for something, we'd pick an activity, and we'd do it just like a date. And that was to model, this is how you're supposed to be treated by young men when you reach dating age. And they still remember that, and even though they're 30 and 27 now, we'll still say occasionally, is there any chance at a daddy date night? So that was something I really, really enjoyed. I was going to do the develop wings, wasn't I? I tried to pass it off too quickly. But the last part of the roots and wings was developing wings, and that was trying to develop confidence in the kids to try new things, and they would be more successful in life as they were leading their own lives. And those wings, okay, might lead them back here to Dayton, or it may lead them to other cities, other even countries. Well, as luck would have it, none of our kids live in Dayton, Milwaukee, Charlotte, and Columbus, but we love visiting them. But they even experienced other cultures. They went to China and Malaysia. Our middle daughter went with David to Malaysia when she was in junior high. Bolivia, places like that, kind of like the Wilsons were talking about, to experience other cultures and appreciate the world and there are people in need.
And we didn't like it when our daughter moved to New England out of college. And I said, do you really have to go that far? And she said, but Mommy, you just gave us such pretty wings.
Thanks.
Help me thank the Pummels. And last but not least, Tim and Ann Cornell. Your three best, Tim.
Well, before I give it to Ann, let me just say, I've heard Rick tell twice now how he taught his daughters how to be treated, but his son dated my daughter, and I don't remember you talking about how you treated him. Did you teach him? And also, I told the Wilsons I feel so much better about all the shoes Ann buys now that I know we've got something to do with those shoe boxes. So let me let Ann start.
Well, our first point is spending time together as a couple with no children. We started out as two, and we will end as two. And in the meantime, we'll have six grandchildren, maybe more, I doubt it. And but we will end spending our time together as two. So I think with no children involved at certain points in your lives, I think it's very important for the two to spend time together alone.
When we had, Ann and I had been married 4 years when we had our first child, Patrick, and I'll never forget what my mother told me. Some of you have probably heard this before, but she said, Tim, the greatest gift a father can give his children is to love their mother. And I knew it would not be a problem loving their mother, but I wanted to make sure that what we had when we were dating, what we had for the first 4 years before we had children, we didn't want to lose that. And I was fortunate that I worked in a business where I had a lot of companies that invited us to come and meet them and learn about their company. And I took Ann on those trips without our kids. We went on a lot of trips. We went on a lot of trips without our kids. We took a lot of flack. We took a lot of heat. But we think it was the right thing to do because now we are back to two. Our second piece of advice would be give independence and let them make mistakes. And Ann has a devotion she is reading that she wants to read that I think probably explains how we feel.
Entrust your loved ones to me. Release them into my protective care. They are much safer with me than in your clinging hands. If you let a loved one become an idol in your heart, you endanger that one, as well as yourself. Remember the extreme measures I used with Abraham and Isaac? I took Isaac to the very point of death to free Abraham from sun worship. Both Abraham and Isaac suffered terribly because of the father's undisciplined emotions. I detest idolatry, even in the form of parental love. When you release loved ones to me, you are free to cling to my hand. As you entrust others into my care, I am free to shower blessings on them. My presence will go with them wherever they go, and I will give them rest. The same presence stays with you as you relax and place your trust in me. Watch to see what I will do.
So our oldest son, Patrick, graduated from high school. Patrick is a musician. And Patrick applied to get into the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, which is a great music school. He was accepted. We were extremely proud, still proud of him. Probably we even bragged about it. And after his first quarter there, he called and said, "Hey, Dad, I'd like to come down and have lunch with you." So he came downtown. We went downstairs to Kitty's, and we were having lunch. And he said, "You know, when I get out of college, I'm going to move to Los Angeles and become a rock musician." And I said, "All right, well, that's a good goal." And he said, "Well, I'm out of college. I quit today." And the first thing I thought was, "Okay, Cornells, let's see. Have you been you've been talking the talk? Now let's see if you can walk the walk." Patrick headed for home, which meant I had 15 minutes to call Ann and try to talk her off the cliff. Her immediate comment was probably, "Oh no, he's not." But we talked about it. 7 months later, he loaded up a U-Haul truck, had his car on a trailer, and as a 20-year-old, left for Los Angeles. And we told him that we would support him in prayer, we would support him as our son, we would not support him financially. And we didn't. We found out years later that he actually had a period of 3 or 4 months where he lived in his car. But 7 years later, he went back to college. He graduated with honors. He now owns his own business in Nashville. I think we made the right decision, even though it was really hard.
And our last point is speak with one voice. Be united and show a united front in front of your children.
Now, I have to be careful. I had to tell this story because my mother-in-law is here right now. But we came, obviously, from two families being parented very differently. So it's a November morning, November afternoon, bright sunshine, 40 degrees, though, and everybody's going to go out to play. Ann says, "All right, let's go out, everybody put a coat on." One of our kids says, "Mom, I don't need a coat. I've got a sweatshirt on. I'm fine." Ann would say, "Put a coat on or you're not going outside." I grew up in more of a family that would say, "You ought to put a coat on, it's cold outside." And when they said, "I don't need a coat," I would say, "Well, that's pretty dumb, but don't wear one then." Obviously, I was right and she was wrong. I think when we thought about this, the best example I could think of is, I remember the last UD game I went to, basketball game, and some of you that are basketball fans, think what happens when a coach calls a timeout. The coach calls timeout, they put some chairs out for the players, and then the whole coaching staff goes out 10 or 15 feet, they huddle, they talk, they strategize, and then they come back to the players with one voice, with one strategy. And Ann and I thought that's what we should do. We should take our two ways that we had learned, have each other's back, because if Ann would have said, if she would have made the first call to put on a coat, then I would have said, you got to put on a coat. But we tried to be together on that. And again, I think that that was important in the way we raised our kids.
Help me thank the Cornells. There is a lot of wisdom right here in these three couples. The truth is, there's a lot of wisdom in our church family, and that's why we're in this series, because we desire for each of our families to be strong, no matter what your family looks like. So as we close here, grab your Bibles real quick with me, and I want to show you a passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So take your Bibles, your device that you might have with you, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In all of our campuses, I want to just read two verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And here's why I want to read these verses, because you cannot go to a place in the Bible and find a book that says, here's how you parent your kids. You cannot find a chapter that says, here are the seven principles that you ought to, you know, think about as you raise your kids. As you think about the Bible, keep in mind that God created the family unit to be a place in which you and I can experience the love of God in the best way, and that is to be the model for the world that we live in. And so here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. All this from God, all what? The fact that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, in order that a broken relationship that we have with God can be repaired. And he uses this word reconciliation or reconcile. I'll define it in just a second. All this from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, next week, we're going to unpack that for you. What does the ministry of reconciliation really mean? But you as families, my family, your family, we are to be to have a ministry of reconciliation. So then it goes on. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. That's the key right there. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. In fact, this whole chapter is about the message and the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is really pretty simple. Here's what it is. It's that God sent his son Jesus to stand with us to push away sin. Reconciliation means to tie yourself to someone in order to do something together. So God sent Jesus in order to stand with us to push away sin. And so what parenting is all about is simply, as you hear different principles and different methods and ways that you can parent your families and help your sisters and brothers and nieces and nephews and so forth, is simply, parenting is simply coming alongside your children and pushing away that which isn't best for them, that which is wrong for them, that which is sinful for them, that which would hurt them. That's what parenting is. Parenting is coming alongside your child and pushing away all that would hurt them in life. So you become part of their support network, and that's really what the ministry and the message of reconciliation. We'll unpack that a lot more next week as we finish out the series called Family Strong. Again, these couples don't claim to be perfect in their marriages and in their parenting, but I hope you've heard a couple things. Number one, I hope you've heard intentionality. Let's be intentional. If you're here and you're a parent, let's be intentional. If you're a young parent, learn all you can from those that have, you know, had 30 years of seasoned parenting, because there's a lot of wisdom right here. And if you've already parented your kids, here's what I have discovered, Kathy and I, is now we have two sons that are outside our house. Help me out if you have kids that are gone from your house. Once a parent, always a parent, right? And so you're still parenting along the way. It just changes, and we'll give you some of those stages next week as we talk about it. So here's how I want to end. I'm going to ask all the moms and dads, the parents, if you'll stand in all of our locations, Springboro, Northmont, right here in Centerville, all of our moms and dads who are parents, would you just stand all over the rooms and all of our campuses? And if you're a grandparent, you should be standing as well. So grandparents, make sure that you stand. And if you're single and you think that you can maybe help a sibling who has kids or a friend who has kids or someone that you know that is parenting and it's a really tough job, would you stand on their behalf so that you too can be part of the process, because family is larger than mom and dad and two kids and a dog. So why don't you stand, all of our singles, as you think about the people in your lives that you could maybe come alongside and help and assist. And if you're here today and you're middle school, between middle school and 23, why don't you stand in order that you might say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to thank my mom and dad for what they've done. I'm going to make a phone call. I'm going to do something to just affirm the fact that their job is hard, and it's hard, you know, being raised as you're wanting to express independence. But kids, you stand as well. Middle school, high school, college students, would you stand all over as well so that together we can be family strong? Would you bow your heads? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you desire for us to have strong families. And I pray for every family that's here today, whether they're couples or singles or extended family, in-laws. I pray, God, that as we've done something very different today, that you would speak directly to hearts and minds and lives. I pray for parents who have young kids, that they would be inspired in the midst of their busyness and fast schedules and the difficulty of the physical aspect of parenting these little kids, that they would take a step back, a deep breath, and they would determine with intentionality some things that they need to change, some things that they really want to make sure that they're doing. I pray for parents here whose kids are long gone, that you would remove guilt and shame, because we don't do it right, and it's hard, and we have regrets at times. I pray, Father, that you would remove all of that so that, Father, we can be family strong. That we would continue to love our kids from a distance as we become consultants in their lives. For our middle school, high school, and college students, Father, we thank you for the blessing that they are. I pray, Father, that they would honor their mother and father. As difficult as it might be, I pray, God, that you would help them to honor their mother and father. And for our singles who are helping people navigate this amazing thing called child raising, parenting, I pray that you'd give them wisdom. And that you'd give them help. Help us as a church that we might be family strong. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Would you once again help me thank our three couples this morning? Amen.